The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
That's okay with you? Yeah?
Yeah.
My name is Lucia Mahusen. I'm a program coordinator at Social Justice Leadership based in New York. And I will be moderating this panel on, it's called Power for the People, and it's about member-based organizations. We're going to go a little broad on that and talk about opportunities and ways to engage your constituency a little differently than you might be currently. And we have a great set of speakers to fill our panel. I'm going to give them a quick moment to introduce themselves. Why don't I do that instead of just reading this generic thing? How do you feel about that?
Good.
Great. Kavita?
Yeah. Okay. Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. My name is Mahbuba Akhtar Kavita. I'm a proud member, a founder member of Shakti PR Groups, and I'm working for other organizations as well, but today I'm here to share about my experiences to work with Shakti PR Groups.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Luna Ranjit. I am the executive director of Adhikar. We work with Nepali-speaking community in New York, mostly in Queens area.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rishi Singh, and I am an undocumented youth organizer at Drum Daisies Rising Up and Moving, which organizes working-class South Asian immigrants and youth facing immigration issues and educational barriers.
Thanks, guys. So, is everyone familiar with the format of these panels? I suspect each of you have been to one or two throughout the day. We're do a very brief introduction. We're going to go into spend about 40 minutes or so, possibly less because we're starting 15 minutes later than we expected, and present a bunch of three major questions, actually, to the panel who will speak about their organizations and their organizational experiences around member-based and or led organizing work. And in the last 20, 25 minutes or so, opening up to the audience for any questions you might have for the panel. Cool?
Awesome.
So we're all here to sort of discuss a little bit about what it is to be membership-based or member-run. Like, what does that mean for an organization to have a model that's member-based and or member-run? My understanding is that most of you guys are allies, activists, advocates, and or social service providers. And part of what this panel is about is to really offer stories and possible opportunities for you guys to expand how you engage your constituency and your organizations. I want to throw out a few, I've used some terms already, and I sort of want to make sure that we all have the same understanding of what it means to be member-based or member-run. How many of you guys work in organizations that have members right now? Oh, wow. That's a lot. And other than Drum, because I got mad love for Drum, and I know a lot about them and the great work that they do, what does it mean to be a member in your organization? Anyone? How do you define a member in your organization?
You pay dues.
Dues-paying members. And what does a dues-paying member, what does that allow a person to do in your organization?
For everyone?
Just for you.
Oh, no. A dues-paying member means that you get, you're part of a membership group. Part of a group.
And what does that membership group do?
A membership group decides, part of a chapter, which just decides kind of that pieces of work and policies are going to move forward.
So thank you. when we speak of member-based in this, for the next sort of hour and a half, we really mean that the power of an organization is derived from this membership, right? So how an organization moves its work forward is through sheer numbers of members. And sort of the quality and skills of that members is less defined, but that an organization understands that in order to move their agenda, their mission, their vision, their purpose, however you want to put it, is to have a certain sort of critical mass of members to move that work forward. When we speak of membership led and run, we mean that the members drive the work, right? So the members are the key decision makers. As what's distinct about membership led and run from membership based is that membership based organizations don't necessarily create a decision making body that's made up of members, those who are directly affected by whatever issue or work an organization might be working on. So member based is the source of power and how the work moves forward for an organization is defined by the number of members, and membership led and run is the same thing, but that the members are the decision-making body, right? And that can vary from campaign level to organization, organizational level, or everything from bottom, top to bottom. Questions? Awesome. So I'm going to kick it to our panel members, a question. I really just want to open it up to you guys to talk a little bit about your organizations, key work that you're doing, and how you thus far in your organizational histories have engaged your members. Like, who are your members, and what kind of role do they play in your organization? I want to remind the panelists that you have about 3 or so minutes for your answer. And we can go down the line or do popcorn style, however you guys want to flow with me.
Shall I explain?
Sure.
Okay. We are talking about the Shakti Peer Groups. Shakti Peer Groups is a group of South Asian women, immigrant. We build the power for the community with who we work for. And this, we, the group from the working class, and who are survivors of violence to end violence against women. In our experience, we saw that most of the other agencies or, I mean, what are the difference between us and the others' work, that we do the work, not only this is the service provision, but also we help the other women who are struggling from South Asian community and from working class. We help them to build their, help them to empower them to raise their voice, to share their decision, to take the decision, what to do, what not to do, and how to run the event to help themselves. That is what we are about. So in our work, we challenge our patriarchal society. This includes traditional ideas about gender, race, sexuality, class, which includes with our immigrants, other intersectional issues. And our mission is to create a healthy relationship within families and our communities. We, the Shakti Peer Groups, followed the peer education model to help ourselves and for the community. And we work together hand in hand with our community and as the team, the Shakti Peer Groups. That is all about our work.
Can you, I'm sorry, before I move on, can you describe a little bit about what you mean about the peer group model, just very briefly?
Okay, so we, we were selected by one organization. Actually, we, the peer groups, were, this initiative was taken by Connect. And after that, we, the group, are working by ourselves. We are from the community, We are thinking, we are utilizing our own experiences, what we are going through. We are sharing these things with our other fellow community peoples who are going through the same things but cannot talk with others. So we give them space. Like when we do the outreach, we talk with them. We utilize different kind of strategies, decision made by the groups what who we are working for, what kind of events could be helpful to bring the people with us, to talk with us, and to help them, not only providing the services what they need for, but also to help them to understand what the situation is going through and why it is going through and how that person can think about our own self to come out from that situation and can engage other people who are surrounding within themselves. And it's not only for the survivors, as we are working for the domestic violence issues, but also we are talking about the community who often creates some kind of oppressive situation for them.
Thank you, Dr.
You're welcome.
So Adhikar works with Nepali-speaking communities, and as far as we know, we are the only Nepal organization, social justice, human rights organizations focusing on Nepali community in the entire country. Our focus is on workers' rights. Issue area-wise, we focus on workers' rights, access to healthcare, and immigration reform as well, and we also now have a youth component to that. And we started out, we didn't start out as a membership-based organization or membership. We were thinking, when we started, we were thinking more as an advocacy group that would make a link Nepali community that was rapidly growing to the resources and material information, to providing access, and also advocating on behalf of the Nepali community, having a space for progressive Nepali voice. But as we started working in the community, there was more and more interaction in the community, and we sort of are evolving into a membership-based organization, and we have a lot more involvement of people on a day-to-day basis, and in terms of like what our membership base, like because we are a pan-Nepali organization, we have members across the socioeconomic spectrum, but a bit reflective of the demographics in New York area, we are more and more working class community, and particularly domestic workers and nail salon workers, but more so domestic workers. And members play various roles within the organizations. We're all Nepalis, mostly Nepalis on the board. Staff is all Nepali. Our volunteers, our donor, individual donor base, all of that comes from the community, and that has been reflective of the community as well. And we're still struggling with this, like having more structured involvement within the organization.
So with Drum, so it's kind of interesting because folks already like kind of talked about a little bit about services, advocacy. So I think it's important for us to also talk, like, get a general, like, a basic understanding of organizing as well. So I wanted like lay that out and what organizing is, especially for what that means to Drum in our community. So organizing to Drum is basically when people who are directly affected by an issue, and for our organization, that's basically working class, South Asian immigrant families and youth that are affected by like detention, deportation, or policing issues in their communities. And not only coming together to talk about these problems, but actually strategizing on how to solve these problems, right? So kind of like the role that our members play, like Rucia said, they are basically the backbone of membership-led and run organizations. They're like in our organization, the decisions about you know, where the direction of where our organization is going comes from the grassroots level. People who are undocumented, people who are, you know, facing detention, deportation, people, youth who are, you know, affected by, you know, being harassed in their schools or not being able to go to college because they, you know, can't get financial aid or scholarships and stuff like that. So that's kind of like where our, like, our power is derived from. The members who are directly affected, and that kind of works in different ways in Drum. So we have different levels. So there's like a steering committee in Drum that is basically made up of people who are directly affected by these issues. Like I am on that steering committee. I am undocumented. Other folks who are undocumented and face detention, deportation are also on that steering committee, and we basically guide like the direction of the organization and where the work is heading. Also, like in the different programs, we have a youth program called Youth Power and an adult program called Immigrant Justice Program. And, you know, members are basically the ones leading and running those membership meetings and, you know, the program in general. They are the ones deciding, you know, the campaign, what we should do in the campaigns. Who should we target? Like for the youth program, you know, our schools are flooded by, you know, metal detectors and students are being harassed and beaten up and stuff. What can we do? What should we do about this? You know, and there are many youth here who could talk about the campaigns that we're doing, and maybe later on we could talk, I could pose that question to them. And also, you know, just having that, like, our members be, like, the voice of the organization. Because sometimes, you know, all too often, we, especially, like, even here, when we came here, like, you go to these congressional meetings, and basically policy people, people who are, quote-unquote, experts are basically talking about, you know, what affects immigrant communities. And, like, we're right there in the room, you know, and, you know, I know that's what I go through every day in my life, you know, so I should be the one talking about these things. And, you know, and I think that has like a huge impact on these on the people that make these policies, right? Because, you know, you don't really hear these things coming from the people who are directly affected. And, you know, we don't want to be seen as victims because we are, you know, organizing to change these, you know, the issues that are affecting our lives. So,
Before I move on to the next question, how many advocates are in the room? Who would qualify themselves as an advocate? Social service providers? Activists? Organizers? Wow. Some folks over here raised their hand four times. So, of those people, can you draw some crude distinctions between those four things for us? Because I feel like it's important to realize what the distinctions are between those. Because there's often, when we're doing our work, we use language that we interchange incorrectly. And we can often represent our work in a way using inappropriate language. And this is not like a criticism. This is not like there's a value judgment or morality in this. But for the sake of this panel and this discussion and what these three panelists are going to provide and the distinctions of their work, I think it's really important to say this is an advocate's orientation to social justice or social change. This is an activist and so forth. So, yes.
Well, for me, I raised my hand four times, and I feel like, you know, an advocate is also an activist and also a social worker. I mean, I feel like I play all those hats, and I might do more activism at one point with a certain issue than maybe social service, but maybe you guys can define what you mean, your distinctions, because for me, I feel like a lot of them can be interchanged.
Okay. I will offer that distinction if no one else out there that raised their hand four times won't.
Language changes quite a bit. I'm a tenant organizer, and when I'm trying to explain to the tenants why their Wall Street toning funded landlord is very different from an individual landlord, why it's a systemic problem, it's a very different approach.
very much a discussion, and language is very different. And if I want to talk about the same issue and bring it out to my, you know, state elected official and tell them, well, you know, these are the laws that are affecting our people and we need to change that, it's a completely different language and how we approach it. So that's the advocate part. The other one was what? I'm sorry, remind me.
Activist.
An activist, I think, can cut across issues and can be. I could be an activist, not for housing rights, but for gender rights, for immigrant rights, and sometimes that my activist role could cut across all of that. And I'm also a counselor, so when a first attendant comes in with a problem, we have to put the fire out first before we can do all of that. I'm also wearing the hat of a counselor.
Thank you. So I'm going to offer some really crude distinctions to complement what's already been said. And this isn't necessarily so I'm going to say what a label is. An advocate is really crudely. And it's not to put a value judgment on those of you advocacy work. I really feel like the four realms of work are really important, right, and necessary. So in terms of the discussion, an advocate is one who is not directly affected by the issues, but speaks on behalf of someone who is. An activist is someone who might not necessarily be directly affected by an issue, but speaks on behalf of his or her own beliefs. A social service provider is one who directs someone who is directly affected by an issue to some place where they can get a service, right? Whether it's a lawyer, whether it's the welfare center, whatever it might be. And an organizer organizes people who are directly affected by an issue to act on behalf of themselves. Cool?
Cool.
Questions?
Nope.
Comments? Yes.
I think those are good distinctions as to what they are, but I also think that a lot of times we are all doing those all four all the time. You know, it may be at different times. That's why I think a lot of us probably raise our hands four times.
That's awesome. I'm not putting any value judgment at all.
No, I'm not saying that Christians are not, but I'm just backing up kind of what I said before as far as I feel like we don't, a lot of us do all of those things.
Thank you.
So I've been kind of following this conversation since the morning, and I did a similar thing, I think, in the morning session that you're talking about. I think one piece of it that I think is the gap, I think, in some of these conversations is that the organizing and the base building and the acting for yourself in organizing doesn't happen without a campaign and a target and an actual institutional change. So acting from self can be an individual act. Somebody's resisting to in a domestic violence situation or in the community. Acting can be within a community. Acting can also be directly to the power structure, to the policymakers, the institutions, the laws. And I think that's one fundamental difference in organizing and then acting on behalf of yourself in other situations as well.
I'm sorry, what's your name? I can't read your...
Mona.
Yeah, I really appreciate you making... bringing up and saying that we do sort of like play one of the four roles. One of the reasons why I'm going to throw it back to the panel to really talk about stories and experiences you guys have had firsthand, it's important to make these distinctions around sort of the model of member-based organizations and member-led organizations, is because if you are in a membership-led and run organization like RUM, for instance, there is no interchanging of roles. An organizer will not be an advocate and speak on behalf of a member or an activist or speak on behalf. They just won't. And so I've organized in New York City predominantly over the last 13 years and have served in five different grassroots organizations that have been membership led and run. And as an organizer, I was never in the forefront. Never, ever, even under duress and pressure, spoke on behalf of a member. And I think one of the things that we sort of want to explore here is opportunities for folks to develop their membership, if that's the direction you all are interested in moving towards, and sort of think about ideas of how to do that, to really engage members and develop their leadership. No one can speak more articulate and more passionately about an issue than someone who's directly affected by that. That is my core belief. And so I really, really want the discussions and stories that are going to come out here to really push people to challenge that, right? How can you engage in your organizations to sort of light a fire in the belly of your membership, of your constituency, and move them towards speaking on behalf of themselves and acting on behalf of themselves? It's part of, it's the sole goal of why I am here for this panel. I'm very good. So let's get into some stories. How about that? Sorry, I went off the cuff a little bit there. I would like Kavita and Luna to share some stories around what are the roles of having members or your constituencies play critical roles in your organizations. So what are the roles, how have you engaged them, and what do you see as the organizational benefits and the sort of issues, benefits of the work that you're doing in of engaging your members that way. So Luna, why don't you go first and then come back to Kavita.
Okay. I think we are, because we are addressing multiple issues, like the roles different people play varies. As looking at the organization-wide, as in Nepali organizations, we have Nepali representation across the decision-making process, as well as in various roles, decision-making as well as implementation parts. And within the organizations, different issue areas are developing as we go along. We are a fairly new organization, so we're three and a half years old. And so in the last year, with more and more domestic workers coming into the organization, that portion is being run by domestic workers. Like decisions around like what happens with domestic workers, Bill of Rights, who gets to represent, that decision happens with by the domestic workers, the core group. And with the youth group also, we have, it's a completely, it's led and run by the youth group members themselves. But that is not, but we have different components within the organizations, and we're struggling in like sort of having one standard format. So that is not happening yet. But different, and with immigrant rights issues or access to healthcare issues, that is more piecemeal.
Mm-hmm. So. And can you talk briefly about how that impacts your work, having members play this type of role in your organization?
I think it, for us, it's... with people who are directly facing it on a day-to-day basis, we get to hear really like what exactly is happening and be more informed about it and have it like really be led by the organizations. I mean, hopefully have more direct impact, like going to Albany Day visits, like for the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights, having the members speak, share their own stories rather than me going there and sharing, I heard this. So that is, and we feel that has a lot more impact. And that's what we're hoping to have more of within the organization.
Go with
that.
Same question.
Okay. So I would say the most benefit for our peer educator, peer members we got from this work, what we are doing, is our growth in knowledge in terms of domestic violence issues and its transactional issues interrelated with this. Our confidence level, talking, thinking about ourselves, what we wear and how we are thinking our changes for that particular issues, and how we are engaging other people to think to take the issues as an issue for themselves. First, let me give an example. We the members in our group. Some of our members are staying here in USA for last 10 or 12 years, but they just often come out from their home. Their work was confined with the grocery and back home cooking and taking care of the children and listening to their husband what they are saying about, and that's all. So coming from to this level, being part of this peer educator, they are developing their own personal confidence level in terms of these domestic violence issues. They started thinking about where they are, how they think about themselves, and so on. So now that part of that, those members, they are, you know, they are confident, and their confidence levels are on that level. So let me give an example that we started doing outreach. We developed the flyer. Those women who never come out from the house, they were involved to develop the flyers and get out to see the people they know over telephone and come out, going to the street, talking to other people, engage other people. Conducted a health fair last year in 2008. My fellow members are there, correct me if I know. Okay, 2008 we organized the health fair over there. And these women who never come out from their home, never think about that, what the condition they are going through, they do not know even the subway, how to get out and how to buy the subway ticket to go somewhere else without the support from their husband or their neighbor or their relatives. Those women, we all together are conducting that health fair. We conducted a workshop, and two different workshops we conducted over there, and there are numbers of not only Bangladeshi people, they come and join this workshop, and they use that space to talk about their personal experiences, share with the other members who joined that workshop, and that workshop was not only for the Bangladeshi speakers. There are the other South Asian women, they come and join this workshop. They are the Urdu speaker, the Hindi speaker, the Punjabi. They came and they were talking that we would like to share our experiences with you people. How can we do that? And these are the stories. They were just tears and all these things. So they took that advantage. This year in 2009, we organized an open house. Those women who joined that workshop in 2008, they took this and they came and joined this workshop, this open house again, and they are just keeping communication with us that when another part of our workshop we are going to, and they want to be the part of this peer educators team, and they want to help themselves to come out from this situation, and they want to help the other fellow, their neighbors, their community as a whole. So I think we, the peer educators, the most the beneficial role for us, that we are creating leadership among ourselves and within the community. We are helping raising awareness to our community as a whole, and including ourselves. Lots of things, lots of issues related to domestic violence, we were not familiar in the beginning when we started being work as a peer educator. Now we can think about, we can see our experience. That says that our the peer educators team, we were working for the babysitting, the housekeeping, and all other things. And most of us were going through lots of experiences that they were not being paid. They were going through, you know, lots of number of working hours. In the beginning, when we started our work, they were not able to talk and to realize that they were going through this bad situation. Now they can talk back. They can say that, no, hey, you are not doing the right things. So I think this is the most beneficial role we, the peer educators, are playing in our group.
Thank you. Rishi, will you share some stories and methods that you engage youth and to have them sort of act on behalf of themselves. Where do you go to meet them? How do you talk to them? How do you bring them into the organization? And how do you engage your youth to stay in the organization, be sort of proactive and organize for themselves? Okay. Give us some stories. Give us some good stuff.
So now the pressure is on. Okay. So I'm gonna need some help over there. Some people got my back, right? Okay. Okay. So basically, like, the activities that our membership engages in order to, like, organize and keep them active in the organization. So I kind of see it like in two levels: building political consciousness and leadership of our members, and also engaging in action. So the political consciousness aspect. So we just don't want to bring in people and, you know, talk about the issues that affect our lives and, you know, feel sorry for ourselves, basically, you know. So, you know, we talk about how can we change these things, right? You know, our youth power program, we did like a community survey about the issues that affect our community in high schools. We went out to the different high schools, surveyed high school students, South Asian high school students, and basically tried to find out what exactly they're facing in their schools, you know. And from that, you know, community research project that we did, which the youth were involved in every step of the way, from developing the surveys to actually going out and doing the surveys, you know, like these active participation of the people who are directly affected by the issues, you know, really builds their leadership, but also encourages them to like continue building the organization and also bring in other people within the organization. So I think that's kind of like one of the things that you have to make sure that your membership is actually, you know, a part of the organizing effort, like, from every step of the way, you know. And it's not just coming from like staff people and, you know, like that bottom top down like structure. So that's kind of like one way. We also like have like youth internships, so like social justice leadership institutes that we run like every summer and sometimes in the winter, where we bring in youth who are like affected by, that go to like these affected schools that are heavily policed, who are, you know, undocumented, you know, are facing all these issues. And basically we bring them into these leadership development program, and we do workshops on racism, sexism, immigration policies, and also to develop their organizing skills. We do media training, we do like base building stuff. You know, we have people who actually go out and do base building at schools and stuff. So basically, I think you also asked like, how do we go and talk to folks? Like, so since we go to these schools, we know exactly what's going on in these schools. So, you know, we can go and talk to, you know, did you hear what happened, you know, yesterday in the school? You know, do you think that's messed up? You know, we're actually fighting, doing this campaign to actually protect immigrant students in schools from, you know, being harassed by police officers or cops, you know, making sure that undocumented youth have like access to higher education, and this, folks could talk about it, it's our Immigrant Safe Zones campaign. And also another part to that is our alliance work with the Urban Youth Collaborative, where we are basically trying to get city council legislation passed to actually hold school security agents accountable to their actions in schools. Like, for instance, like one of our members were like beaten up in the schools. You know, one day he went to school late, and like he had a cell phone, and you know, the security agents, you know, they wanted to take it away, but he didn't want to give it up, and like he wanted to go, but and then the security agent like pushed him to the ground and beat him up and stuff. So and these are like systemic issues, you know, it's not just happening to one person. And you know, this is kind of like what our members have seen, and they are the ones that are like, you know, actually coming up with like our campaign goals and demands and stuff, and are leading the actually going to like public official meetings and talking to them and telling them what we need in our schools and stuff. So some other activities, so that's kind of like the action part, you know, going to the public official meeting, actually being like, you know, taking charge of the campaign, basically. They're running the campaign, they're deciding who we should target, what action we should take, you know, evaluating what's the campaign, you know. So all this helps build like a culture of, you know, like a bottom-up structure in an organization, you know, where members are, you know, on the same level as people who are on staff, you know, and each of us are like learning from each other, basically. And I think, I don't know, that's about it.
Thanks.
How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to throw a input on the youth part. You know, a little simple step is that what we focus on is the targets that we do come up with. We, you know, we make sure that the targets that we target are the ones that are actually being affected. For example, when we do campaigns on students, we target students that are being targeted, and we go to their schools. And what that does is that gives us the confidence that we can find those targets, we'll find those students that are going to be affected, and it makes our job a little bit more easier to recruit them. Because if we can go up to a student and we tell them that, have you heard this and this, and we know that student is affected, that student is more than likely to open up and share that story, their opinion, and we get that data. And we get that chance to give them, that's our opportunity to recruit them and know that this is what we have to offer. For example, we went recruiting, outreaching to one of the high schools, and we targeted that high school because students over there are getting harassed by security guards. So we went to one of the girls in the swings in the nearby park, and we asked them, how do you feel about security guards? And she said, honestly, I hate them, this and that. And that gave us the chance to know that, to tell them that, look, we are doing this campaign with students and about their security agents in the school, and because we sent this and we gave them the opportunity and they're knowledgeable, aware of it, that she became interested, and by next week she came to one of our meetings and joined on to drop. So just a little basic thing that when we do target, we make sure that they're affected, and that gives you the chance to make, you know, the job easier to outreach and improve your base building.
You're a youth member, yes?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. The need to make that distinction. I'm going to dump the rest of the panel questions and just go right to whatever questions you might have.
Well, I don't have actually a question. My name is Fatima. Originally, I'm a member of the Shakti Peer Group, and this is my first trip here, and I went to all the session. I really enjoyed it. And basically, we call, how do we get people, organize people? We do different ways, but I personally, I'm a freelance interpreter. I work with the Unified Court System. I work with personal lawyers. I work with the hospitals and school as well. So what we do, and the lawyers, because there's a lot of Bengali clients, so we used to give out flyers. We go in front of the court, and we give our flyers on our free time. And we tell them, a lot of people are like, oh, they don't want to take it because their husband is with them, this and that. But if they're not a husband, then they'll take it anyway, they'll give us a call. And also in the school, they have a PTA meetings. So we hand out flyers and we explain our organization, what we're made of, and what we're there for, how we can help them. I do this because I'm also a member of a domestic violence person. I've been there. And I know how it feels, and I cried for years and years. But one point I wanted to like give up my life. Then when I looked at my son, I said, I can't give up because of my son. I have to, you know, get back on my feet. So I know it took me a while, and I did it. And I know there's other women out there. It doesn't have to be just women. It could be young ladies, whatever. Don't give up in life. You know, there is help out there. All you need to is come up. We cannot make them. You come, you know, everything is confidential. You know, you can call us if you want, or if you give us timing, when is the best time to call you. We can get together, have a meeting in our private places, somebody's home, or for example, in our Connect, or, you know, when we have a meeting in the Connect office, because we personally don't have our office yet. So we're basically with the help of Kritika, you know, we use their the area too. And we have, you know, like I feel good about it because I know I may change a couple of people. Even if I make just changes for one person, that means a lot to me. That I know I've done my job. As you could hear from my voice, I'm shaky because it kind of, you know, it's an experience that I just went through. You know, it's like, it's hard, but I know there is hope out there. Don't give up. You know, all you have to do is reach out hands and be there to grab it. And we have done that, and we have lots of different people that speak different languages, you know, Hindi, Bengali, Punjabi, Pakistani, or that have come to our organization, and they really like it. In our open house last week, we had over like 35 people, and they're really interested in it. So hopefully we're used to be 9 people, now we're 6 people, but we want to build it up, we wanted to expand it. So hopefully, you know, we will do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. I think I'm just trying to visualize the process of like the youth-led campaigns a little bit better. So I don't know if this is possible. Can you tell us like a sort of step-by-step process of like how, I mean, it's just, I think it's incredible that like the youth are building the capacity to, you know, like this is identifying a problem all the way to systemic change. So kind of to help us understand that better, can you talk through...
So, can I piggyback with that? And that just this, how you sustain the youth involvement as well.
Okay.
That's something we've had issues with. So.
And we also have some of those issues. But, okay. So kind of like the process of, you know, going from, you know, actually starting up a campaign. So like I said before, you know, identifying that problem. Basically, having youth be a part of that process. You know, if it's like, if you're going to find out what's happening in the community or in their schools, you know, have them be a part of that, whoever is already in your membership. You know, developing the surveys and, you know, actually going out and conducting these surveys projects and stuff. Then after identifying these problems, like finding, like, you know, having them put everything together also, like, you know, we work with the Urban Justice Center that like helped us analyze all this, like the surveys that we did, but we were also a part of like all the analysis and like coming up with a report on it. So youth, you know, were basically a part of like, you know, coming up with that report as well. Unfortunately, we didn't bring any of those reports, but it kind of laid out some of those things. It should be in the internet somewhere. It's called Education, Not Deportation, The Impacts of School Safety Policies on South Asian Youth in New York City. It's kind of...
it comes up if you Google it.
So, yeah. So, being a part of that, then... We, like, especially, like, in these, like, we have, like, weekly meetings, membership meetings for our youth membership. And for our adult membership, we have, like, once a month as well. But for the youth membership, we, you know, we come together, we talk about the campaigns and, you know, what should we be doing? If what we're doing is working, and if not, what can we do to change it so that, you know, it's effective and we can really affect, yeah.
Sorry, can I just ask, so once you guys have this report together, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Then you're talking about it at your membership meetings with the youth, and then how does that develop into, okay, now we're going to run this campaign sort of thing?
I'm going to interject, is that cool?
Yeah.
So, I think we could spend forever, right, answering this question.
Yeah.
And there are so many variations and methodologies that different membership-based organizations use to sort of recruit and engage members. I think, one, it's excellent that there's awareness that it's difficult to envision how this happens.
Yeah.
But it's really not that different from how you as an individual engage in something that you're interested in or something that you have self-interest in. I think at the very core, organizing is the process of bringing people who have common problems together to find common solutions. right? And there are different ways to sort of bring those people together. I would invite you to have a longer one-on-one discussion with Rishi. And Rishi, would you... And you know what? It's really important. Rishi is an organizer. He used to be a youth and is an organizer. But there's like a whole bunch of youth here who you can say, hey, how did you get involved in drama? They could give you the their monologue on how that happened. And I bet it's all really great. Do you want to address... Is that okay?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Great, thank you. Do you want to talk a little bit briefly, because I kind of want to get some questions over here, on how you sustain youth? What are some key things that you do to sustain your youth membership?
So this kind of goes into, like, developing our leadership base, our members as leaders. So making sure that they are the ones that are running the meetings, and, you know, if people have, like, you know, have roles in the organization, I don't think they're going to be going anywhere. You know, they generally, people want to feel needed and want to be a part of the process. So if, you know, like for us, members are running membership meetings, they're coming up with the agenda, facilitating these meetings, to like facilitate workshops on different issues. You know, they help run our summer leadership institute. You know, these are like simple ways that you can make sure that you can, you know, consistently keep them, and also like making sure that, you know, many of our members are working class immigrant youth, and, you know, when opportunities do arise, like making sure you you know, recognize that, and you know like in other ways, like you could sometimes we hire people from our membership to do like to do organizing work on a part-time basis or whatever. You know, people here are like you know, yeah. You want to
another unique thing about us is that once we do recruit someone, we never forget them. We have members from back in the years, probably like 5-6 years, and we still, every Friday or every Thursday actually, or whenever we have the meeting the day before, or even 2 days before, we go back to our database and we look for that specific person, no matter how many years ago, and we catch up with them and we tell them, hey, how you been? We still have a meeting. Can you come by? It would be great to catch up with you and stuff.
So this is, yeah, kind of like what Kabir said, this is also like a pivotal part, like, you know, making sure that you don't lose contact of the people that, you know, have been a part of your organization. Keeping sure, maybe some people have, you know, moved to another place or, you know, don't have enough time to continue to come to your meetings or what have you, but making sure that you still keep connected to them, making sure they know that you're the work that you're doing, and maybe eventually, you know, if they do have time, they will come by and, you know, continue to be part
of the
work.
Do you have something to add to this question?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, what Richard said, like, every time, like, it's a membership base, like, everyone feels like they have a part in it. So, you know, we all, at the same time, we try to create an environment where everyone feels safe, they can trust each other, and we try to make sure that everyone is, like, friendly, we try to make sure everyone gets together. So, in a way, we're kind of like family. We see each other, like, every week. So, we're, like, even if we don't see each other, we're, like, on the phone. So, we kind of build, like, between the youth so that they're all connected. They're all, like, if you're working with people you like, then you're going to be focusing on what you're trying to do, and you're going to put your mind into it, and you're going to try to achieve what you're trying to do.
I'm going to jump here, but before I do, I just want to offer that really at the core of what's at the core of sustaining members, in my experience, I found, is really understanding what their self-interest is and moving them based on that, right? A lot of membership-led run organizations try very hard not to recreate the type of institutions and places that their constituency often find themselves, where they're being told what to do or sort of herded in one direction or the other. What's distinct about sort of, you can see the youth are speaking for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Rishi, as the organizer, doesn't necessarily have to say anything. They're like, hey, this is how I stay engaged. And part of understanding this is to really drop from a theoretical place to an experiential place. I run a organizing, basic to intermediary organizing training that will start in the fall. It's for organizers, but if any of you all want to get some experience in organizing, feel free to call me. There's definitely organizations out there that are looking for folks to be in the front line. So if you want to get a taste of it, if you really want to understand it, the best way is to get a taste of it.
I have two questions. The first one is, what are the community-specific challenges and, more importantly, the opportunities in organizing within the South Asian community? That's my first question. And then my second question involves a little bit of a different perspective. And I've asked some of you these questions in the past, but I'm there's so many people here that have asked it anyway. So I fund Arab, Middle Eastern, Muslim, South Asian community-based organizations. And what we're finding is that in order to make social change move forward, we're trying to build community infrastructure. And it seems that there's a whole bunch of robust types of organizations that are litigation, impact litigation, legal services, domestic violence service providers, social services, but what's really fascinating is that the infrastructure within the organizing piece within the South Asian community is incredibly weak, or I should say not weak, sorry, thin, is the adjective I'm trying to find. And I'm just curious about why that is, because, you know, I'm really excited to be working with some of our legal services organizations, our arts organizations that support the South Asian community, but across the country it just seems that there's such a thin infrastructure within the community to support organizing, and I'm just curious about what that is.
So anyone from the panel want to answer that? And I want to be mindful that we have less than 10 minutes, so try to keep your answers brief, and then can open it up to the audience. Anybody wants to throw in?
The question is, what are the challenges?
Community-specific challenges and perhaps opportunities, and then why are there not? Why is there not more? I guess the shorthand.
I think we should speak to why is there not more. That's more of an opinion. I actually think there's a shitload.
Yes.
That just might be why I don't.
But we are also a newer community. I mean, you can't compare us to some of the more older immigrant communities. And for a new arrival, I think we, to echo her, we have a shitload.
Yeah, I don't think the Italians are organizing for social change. I think it's an opinion. And so what I'd like folks to do is to address that by agreeing or disagreeing and why. So what are the opportunities and challenges, and what do you think about how big or small the South Asian community movement is? Why do you agree or disagree with that statement? Anybody on the panel got anything?
We can take the look at it from the Nepali community's perspective. Within the Nepali community, it really doesn't exist. Even the social work doesn't really exist within the Nepali community. And I think for us, from our experience, it's twofold. One is it is a longer-term process. It's not... As social work, in a way, is easier, like you deal with issues and you see results much quicker, and so there's more, I guess, like immediate satisfaction from doing social work as opposed to like organizing takes longer. It's quite intensive, and sometimes at the end of the campaign, like after working on it for a year or more, like you don't get anything, and so it's harder, I think. But for within the Nepali community, one of the issues we're dealing with as well is because especially within the domestic workers work, it is a working class issue, it is an immigrant issue as well, but most of the domestic workers, Nepali domestic workers who are here, come from families with resources back home, and perhaps employed domestic workers themselves back home. And so there is a resistance to forming, identifying with being a domestic worker, like having this as a longer term, like this is who I am. There is a struggle with that as well.
Excuse me for one second, but Rishi, continue. Rishi, and then what's your name?
Murshida.
Excellent. You're next after Rishi.
So kind of going into like the obstacles and like organizing and stuff. I think it also has to. There's also like a class issue too. Many of the organizations are like not really membership led and run, and like and are more academic people who are like have like you know degrees and stuff like that, and not really come from membership from the membership that they you know serve. So kind of like you know people aren't going to be engaged if they don't feel like you know they're being represented in the organization. Also kind of like in terms of obstacles in organizing, I think like I think I just lost my train of thought. To get back to me, maybe I could just go back.
So should that?
Yeah.
No,
My name is Murshida Begum.
I'm usually a person who gets for a general consultation. I mean, my experience.
But I don't want to ask question, but I want to just give you my experience.
আমি আসলে এখানে আসছি 12 বছর
I've been here for 12 years in this country
আমি বেবিসিটিং করেছি আর
গত বেবিসিটিং ক্লাস
and last year 2008 এ আমি বেবিসিটিং ছেড়ে দিয়েছি
I stopped working as a babysitter in 2008
কারণ আমি যখন কানেক্টেড থেকে আমি পিয়ার এডুকেটর হিসেবে মানে আমি জয়েন করলাম আমি অনেক কিছু শিখলাম
because I have joined the connect organization as a peer educator I have learned a lot from last year
and then I'm talking to amar ishe sathe owner maniki sathe ami khub protest kortam
I used to protest with my owner that I used to work for
maniki amake bolchilo apni to age kokhono kotha bolte parenni apni ekhon kotha shikchen
he used to say that all of a sudden you changed you know you talking before you used to be silent did not talk
তারপর আমি আমি বলেছি আমি আমার সাথে খুব ঝগড়া হলো তারপর আমি বলেছি আমি তাহলে এই কাজ করবো
না I had a lot of arguments with my owner and then I told them that I would work for him
উনি আমাকে বলতেছে আমরা কিন্তু কাজ ছাড়ার জন্য আমি কিছু বলিনি আপনার সাথে আমার কথা তর্ক হয়েছে আপনি তো কাজ ছাড়তে পারেন না আমি কেন আমি বেবিসিটিং আর করবো না
Because he said that you can, I did not, you know, talk to you, argument with you because to leave the job, I just wanted to talk to you. But I also said that I don't want to work here.
তারপর উনি বলতেছে যে আমার মনে হচ্ছে সামথিং রং মানে আপনার কিছু একটা হয়েছে সমস্যা আপনি কি সমস্যা আমাকে আমার অনেক সমস্যা থাকতে পারে আমি আপনার সাথে শেয়ার করব না
আই ডোন্ট ওয়ান্ট শেয়ার মাই প্রবলেম উইথ ইউ এন্ড देयर इज আ লট অফ প্রবলেম এন্ড হি হ্যাড আস্কড মি হোয়াট ওয়াজ দ্য সিচুয়েশন প্রবলেম ইজ
তো তারপর আমি কাজ ছেড়ে দিয়ে চলে এসেছি
আই লেফট দ্য জব
আমি এখন শক্তি পিয়ার গ্রুপের সাথে কাজ
করছি
রিসেন্টলি আমি একটা নন প্রফিট অর্গানাইজেশনের সাথে কাজ করছি আমার অভিজ্ঞতা হচ্ছে যে আমি কিছু বলতে পাচ্ছি এটা আমার একটা নিজের একটা কনফিডেন্স বাড়ছে আমি শক্তি পিয়ার গ্রুপে এসে এটাই আমি বলতে
পারি I gained a lot of confidence in myself working in the Shakti Peer organization
এটাই আমি বলতে পারছি যে আমি এখানে আসছি সেই জন্য যে শক্তি প্রিয়ার গ্রুপ হিসাবে আমি এখানে আসতে পারছি আমি এনজয় করছি আমি কিছু বলতে পারছি এটা আমার এটা আমার চেঞ্জ হয়েছে এটা আমি বলতে
able to speak from my heart and how I feel and I'm very happy and I'm pleased
thank
you no
so we'll okay we have two more Can everyone hang out for, we got three really quick ones. Can everyone hang out for 5 more minutes?
Sure.
Great.
Real quick, thank you everybody, especially Rishi. I just think that young people have been at the forefront of social justice throughout history, leading social justice movements throughout the world, and once again, seeing young people from Drum at another gathering together of South Asians and even in other gatherings that we've been at together, it's really inspiring to know that our community has a good future to look forward to. I wanted to ask about tools and tactics and using the definitions of organizing before, or definitions of advocacy before, whatever. In you know many many years ago back in the days of beavers I used to be an organizer that's how old I am And we had tools and tactics using art, music, culture, other things to get folks, street theater, other things to get folks involved and to get people inspired to resist and to be part of a larger movement. And I know nowadays with texting and Twittering, whatever other stuff they got, YouTube, whatever, that there's a whole other generation of young people that are using a lot of tools. And so I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about, and this is really to everybody, new tools and tactics using art, culture, music, expression to build your membership and to move the movement forward.
So I'd like to, if you don't mind, narrow that question and have just one person say a few things that they use to engage you. MySpace, Facebook, all of the above.
Yeah, so we basically do all of that. We have a blog spot. We have a Facebook page. We also have people right now. People are like video cam taping stuff, and we want to like create like a movie and stuff. So youth are going to be involved in that. About the organizing work, basically, that Drum does in the South Asian community. So that's kind of like some of the things that we do.
Thanks. Yes, you had a question, comment?
Yeah, I guess, I lived in New York for 10 years, and now I'm living here, so I guess sort of a perspective from outside of New York, which is really its own universe, is that I think that sometimes in New York, people get a little bit too rigid about their definitions, and they start beating each other up over definitions, and that happens in New York every single day, and I'm still hearing all the stories about this happening, and I think that I definitely want to say, like, hearing the stories of the people doing the work, and mobilizing themselves is really what's inspirational. Whatever that modality is, we can talk about modality. Like, people get PhDs in this stuff, but really it's about, understanding what works for people and then not judging other people about what works for them. And then not tearing one another apart, We watch from here, where there's a lot more. I work and live around here. And there's so much more space. I mean, people tell me, don't you want to go back to New York? And I really kind of feel like no. Because you really see, I miss so much about New York, but you really see people tearing at each other. And we should be a lot further along. We should be a lot further along. And I can say that as an outsider now. But I'm just saying, not to say I have any answers, but I would definitely say, I'm a lawyer now, yay. And I went to this institution, and, we always fought with lawyers about, lawyers can't lead anything. You need to figure out ways to facilitate or to be in the background and help, right? But, I work with a tenants association, and it's, Chinese immigrants, they said, we're old, we're poor, Section 8, project-based. We don't speak any English, and there's also a language privilege that we're talking about that we should recognize too. No matter what other things, we also have language privilege, right? And they figured out what they want to do. I'm not their organizer. I would never claim to be their organizer. They figured out what they want to do. What they're prioritizing may not be what I would tell them to prioritize, but they're doing it. And sometimes I get a little bit sort of, it becomes, it's not, it seems to me like it's not genuine when we say that organizing and advocacy are separate, or that the organizing isn't driven by something or by funders, or it's not, if it's, there's a lot of things that are driving that we're not talking about necessarily. There's a lot of things that are being recognized. There's a lot of things that are hot that are getting funded, and a lot of things that aren't, that people are just doing that they feel like we need to do. And I just want to, I'm not judging anyone either, but I'm just saying I feel like there's a lot of room, and I want to just give a lot of respect to the folks who do this work every day, because I know that I can't, and I know that I'm also really privileged. And I just think that it's really amazing to hear these stories. But, New York is where my heart is, and it just tears me up sometimes to kind of feel like, we should be working together. So I would love to, just from a personal perspective, it would be amazing to have any, members of the Shakti Peer Group, members of Adhikar, members of Drum, and, so the youth mobilizers and youth members talking to members and other people here about, just kind of like showing them that there are ways. Because I actually look for materials in Chinese for my, folks that I'm working with. I can't find anything. So they were just like, oh, people can do this? And there's like amazing examples around the country of people doing really amazing work. And, taking buildings over, taping blocks over, and just changing the dynamic. but then we don't document it. Or it's in English, you know, or it's PhDs writing great stories about people's struggles, but then we don't have it in language that people can actually use. So, sorry, I mean, I didn't mean to just go, but it's just like, you know, this wasn't directed towards anybody directly, but it's just that coming from...
I'm sorry, I'm going to stop you so I can take the last comment or question.
Thanks.
And it will be the very last. Sorry.
I have a question for Kavita about the Shakti Hero Project. On the sheet, it talks about leadership development. Can you talk a little bit about how the group does that? I know it's peer to peer, but how do you do?
Okay, so we the peers they take decision about what to do, where to do, how to do these three things, and the decisions taken by the peer themselves, and this is decision taken from the need from the community, and community we mean the working class South Asian woman survival of the violence situation, you know. So the peer educators, they are taking decision, okay, let's we have to provide one educational session, and we do not find the people, how can we reach the people? So we just, the peer educator, we sit together, okay, what can be done? Then one of the peer come up to that, we hear that the people want the henna session, they want to put the hennas on their hand. Okay, so one of our peer, they know that how to put the hennas in the, so this is the work, they organize a session over there, invite the people, they put the hennas on their hand, and in the meantime, other peer educators, they started talking about this, the discussion, what we are doing, what is the domestic violence issues, what are the intersectionality, how the immigrant situation helps us to be isolated and continue through this oppressing situation and so on. And they start getting this platform. They started coming and joining with us and talking and sharing with us. So the leadership grows within ourselves, through our works, through our strategies. With the peer groups, we take decisions. We make our planning, what to do, when to do, and who will be involved with what kind of work.
Thank you.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. thank you, panelists. Sorry, went over.